Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we have witnessed a very, very special church event. This, we all need to be able to say, is one of the high moments, isn't it, of church life. When men and women stand up in front of church, they profess their faith before God and for His people, and they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. They confirm that God is their Savior. And that means that they want to spend the rest of their lives belonging to Him and serving Him. They want to walk with Him, follow Him, and have Him be their guide. They seek fellowship with Him, which is the word that the apostle uses in the third verse of our chapter reading. That means that they want to have, you want to have, a very close relationship, as close as possible. You want to be fellow participants in Jesus, not with Jesus, in Jesus. They want to share also with us as church that close bond that we together all have with Jesus Christ. So they link their arms, as we could say, together. We link our arms together, you and I, all of us, with all kinds of other Christians around the world. Certainly with the Christians here in this local congregation, but also with Christians everywhere, not only everywhere, but Christians of all time. These young men and women followed up, for the most part, except for Nellie Jane, on what we prayed for them, you did, for many years. You prayed for them. Also at their baptism, of what they would do since their baptism. The prayer was at their baptism that it would result in a credible, a heartfelt confession of faith. And we saw that this afternoon. I'll get it right. And here we are today. Events like this are the primary way by which the Church of Jesus Christ grows in numbers. And when that happens, the church hears and professes this profession, but it also rejoices, as we do. But there's more. God hears it too. And on His behalf, this minister welcomed you into a full membership in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ with all its privileges. And yes, also its responsibilities. So, what does that mean for you? What does this mean for all of us? All of us who have done profession of faith. That's what we wish to consider this afternoon for a few moments as we look more carefully at these words of John's first letter, chapter 1, and also together with Article 29 of the Belgic Confession of Faith. Our theme is, to be a Christian means to walk in the light. Now, as we know from the Belgic Confession, after all, you've studied it. We all have, I trust, studied it. If you are members, adult members of this church, you've studied it over the years. The Belgic Confession of Faith explains that there is one church, one holy Catholic church, as the Apostles' Creed says, and it belongs to Jesus Christ. And this church is made up of all those who belong to Him. And we call them, the church, the Bible calls them the elect. Those who have been chosen by God and who have been given to Jesus Christ. And we know, don't we, that no one is saved outside of the church. If you don't join the church or if you separate yourself from the church of Christ, then you are going against the will of God. And all of that and more is explained by this confession of faith in Articles 27, 28. And then here in 29, we have read this afternoon what explains how we know what a true church actually looks like. How can we recognize it so that we can do our task, our duty, and join with it? If, say, for argument's sake, you were looking for a church today, I trust that's not the case. But let's say you were. What exactly should you look for? And for some of us, We grew up in this, many of us, almost perhaps all of us, we grew up in a community just like this, perhaps this one, and our choice would have been made perhaps already by our parents when they became members of this church. Many of us here are generational church members. We have been in Reformed churches of like this one or another, but similar types all our life. We were baptized there. We did profession of faith there. Our journey has brought us here. And our parents did likewise before us. But how was that choice actually made? Or rather, perhaps, how should that choice be made? Now, many times as a minister or perhaps as elders, when we talk to people about church membership, there can be a whole list of things that people kind of have in mind when they're thinking about joining a church. And they're things like, what kind of worship do they have there? Do they have an organ? Do they have a piano? Do they maybe have a praise team? Do they sing from songbooks, psalm books? Do they sing only hymns? What kind of songs are they singing? Do they sing from a screen on the wall? What kind of programs are there for the children, if you should have children? Will I get along with the people over there? Are they friendly? Are they outgoing? Or is the opposite the case? There's a bunch of cliques. Everybody has these little groups, and good luck trying to get into that. Do they talk to me? Do I feel welcome? What kind of general attitude do they have? Do they seem kind of stuck up? Do they think they're holier than thou? Are they perhaps even hypocrites? Now often, those are the kinds of reasons we hear when elders talk to people about membership. Or when the elders interview new members, we will hear something like, well, we really like this church. And then they use the same kinds of reasons as they move here from another church community. But you maybe didn't notice, but notice this, the confession that we've just read, Article 29, or any other part of it for that matter, doesn't list a single one of those reasons. Not one. Not one of those things is even in the ballpark of a good reason for joining a church or for leaving a church for that matter. Confession doesn't have an eye for that kind of thing at all. It wants us to see and to look for the pure word of God to be preached. That's what it says. It wants us to see and look for whether the sacraments are administered the way they're supposed to. And it wants us to see and look for discipline to have been exercised or to be exercised in punishing sin. Those are the three things to look for in a church. None of the other stuff. Those are what we call the marks of the church. Is the preacher sticking to the Bible? Is he teaching what the Bible says? Are the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism, are they being used in a biblical way as commanded by Jesus? And is discipline part of church life? Do the elders take a leading role in that? Are the members, you and I, accountable to each other? And do we encourage each other to fight against sin and to live holy lives? Those are the marks. And you see, when the first two, the preaching and the sacraments, when these two are correctly in place in the church, then faith is built up. That's also taught by the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 25. We call preaching and the sacraments together what? I won't ask you, but those are the means of grace, right? And you know that. And preaching together with the discipline are called the keys of the kingdom because they open the kingdom of God and they close the kingdom of God. Open it to believers, close it to unbelievers. And all of this you've learned, we've learned from the catechism over the years and also from the preaching from this very pulpit. So we're not going to spend a lot of time there except to say that the primary mark or the big one is God's word. And it needs to be taught properly. And not only taught properly, it needs to be lived out. To live out of Christ's word is the fruit of that word. And that's where the confession takes us in the middle part. It shows us how we can see, it shows us how we can recognize a Christian. In other words, it tells us what you and I, what we need to look like. It tells us what the marks of a Christian are. Christians have faith. Christians avoid sin. Notice it doesn't say they don't sin. It says avoid sin. They follow after righteousness. They love God and their neighbor. They crucify their old nature or their old self, which means they put to death their sinful self on the cross and they keep it there. They fight against sin, and that's a lifelong battle. And they look to Jesus Christ and they seek to walk in the light of Christ, and at the same time they try to stay away from the darkness of the world. God is light and we belong to Him, and in Him is no darkness. And He does not, cannot tolerate sin. And that's what you, young men and women, us all, said that you were going to do for the rest of your life. You said so this afternoon. It's what all the members of the Church of Jesus Christ are supposed to be busy with until we are called into His very presence when we die, or when He should return on the clouds of heaven, whichever is first. That's the quest. That's, we can say safely, the full focus of our life. That's the pilgrimage you're on, I'm on, we all are on. To walk in the light. And so I ask everyone, I'm not just picking on the front pew here, I ask everyone, is that what you are after? Is that why you are here in church, in the very presence of God? Are we seeking the kind of fellowship with Jesus where we are in the light, bathed in the light, where every aspect of our life is completely and closely connected to Him? We seek Him with all our heart. We love Him with all our soul, mind, and strength. Is that you? Is that me? Or is your life, so-called Christian, a sham? Could be. You say you want to live with Christ. You stood up here once upon a time. You said, I do. But at the time, your heart wasn't really in it. And then after that, you kind of went off and you did your own thing. And being in this kind of a group today, like today, was nothing more than really a graduation exercise so you could quit catechism. Really, you don't want harmony with God. You're not really looking for that. Really, you don't even think you really need Him a whole lot. And you aren't really training yourself all that much in godliness of it all. Actually, let's ask the question this way. When's the last time you picked up your Bible for some serious reading? And did you know that you're not growing in the gospel? Because bottom line is you don't actually really care a whole lot about it. And your prayer life, well, there's nothing more to be said about that, is there? Because there really isn't any. A couple of rote prayers here and there. Now I lay me down to sleep, or something like that. Something you learned as a child. Well, you're on the wrong track. And the Apostle John has a word for you, a four-letter word. He calls you a liar. A liar. Your deeds, your life, don't stack up to your confession. Yeah, you stood here once. Nothing stacks up. And what you're doing can't actually stand the light of God's word. In fact, your heart is darkness. You're still walking in darkness. Your sin alienates you from God. It alienates you from your fellow man. In fact, God is your enemy, and His people, well, His people are too. In fact, we can say safely, you are dead, just like roadkill, right? Dead. But it doesn't have to be that way. It can be changed so easily. You can ask for your heart to be flooded with the light of God. You can ask for the Holy Spirit to bring you into this intimate, close, wonderful fellowship with the Savior. Ask for it today. Otherwise, you are a liar. Notice how John moves in verse 6 from the negative, you are a liar if you only claim fellowship but don't live in fellowship. And then in verse 7, he shows what benefit comes to us Christians when we do walk in the light. Walking in the light means reflecting God's character traits. Walking in the light means your life is dedicated to God. Your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. And you seek to love him. You seek to serve him. More, you hate sin. You run from sin and you seek to live the way God tells you to live. And does that mean that we live without sin, that we are sinless? Well, in a way, yes. And in a way, no. We still have sin clinging to us. We're still unable to completely rid ourselves of it. Verse 8 makes that clear. Sin is still part of us. John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Again, we would be liars, again, for fooling ourselves that we don't sin. And verse 10 says we also make God out to be a liar when we talk or when we think like that. But we walk in the light if we own up to our sin. And when our sin is uncovered, knowing who we are, that we are sinners, that's that precondition to walking in the light. Know who you are and then own up to it. There's a Latin saying which apparently was the motto of John Calvin, and it's Coram Deo. You may have heard of that. Coram Deo. It means before the face of God, or living before the face of God. That's a life of holiness. That's a life of realization that you live in his presence all the time, even right now. And that kind of living, that kind of walking isn't on again, off again. It's not, so once in a while when I think it's a good idea for a while to make up for some of the time then I was off doing my own thing, Or when I need some way or another to get back in God's favor because I feel his I don't feel his nearness like I think I should. No, living in the light means always, continuously living in God's light, walking before him. That kind of walking is constant. That kind of walking is done in faith. That's the kind of walking that's faithful. Psalm 1 says, the person who walks in that finds delight, finds joy in God's word. This is the kind of person who thinks on God's word. It's a kind of a constant thing. We mull it over in our heart, and we do that day and night. God's word lives in us and out of us. These are the kinds of people that seek to be holy. They work at it. And holiness, let me tell you this, you know this, right? Holiness takes hard work. It doesn't just spoof, hit you in the face, and there it is. It takes hard work. It requires all our effort. It is our life's work. It doesn't fall on us out of the sky somehow. Maybe you know this, but let me try this on for size. Do you know what the two most difficult things we learn in life are? Every person has to learn these two very difficult things in life. I'm told that the two most difficult things a person learns are to walk and to talk. Both are gifts of God. You've all learned those two things and more. Both are gifts of God. Both of them don't just happen in the few first years of your life. They are learned, but they don't just happen. even if they are gifts of God, it's not like instantly they're there. Learning to talk properly takes several years of practice, and it's hard work. Just notice a young child. Don't ask them, but you'll notice that in a young child. It's hard work. And if you watch a young child who's learning to walk, then often you will see sheer determination. Standing up, falling down. One step, falling down. Over, over, over. One day into the next, the next, the next. Goes on for days, weeks, maybe even months. Sometimes they cry when they fall. I'm guessing all of you guys did cry when you fall. A long time ago. Ask your parents. Trust me. But after a while, they're walking, aren't they? And their muscles develop, and they gain strength. Now, was it because of their hard work? Partly. But not really. They were created to walk. They had a disposition to walk. It's what we were made to do. Walk. They developed the gift which was given to them by God when He made us. And it's as Christians that we are kind of like that. We are like little children learning to walk. He gifts us life, His Holy Spirit. We go from being dead, the roadkill, you know what I'm talking about, and we go to being alive, His Holy Spirit. And then we work very hard at it, and we stand up and we fall down. We stand up, we fall down. We even cry when we are hurt or out of sheer frustration. But as we exercise these faith muscles, we gain strength, we gain confidence, our faith increases, and we develop the gift that is given to us by God, the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. Walk in the light. And then when we do, we will have fellowship with God and with each other. You see, after all, we are fellow pilgrims. I'm a pilgrim with you on the road of life. You may be ahead of me, I may be behind you. It doesn't really matter. We're all on that road of life. It's where we're headed for. We're headed to glory, on our way to that great city of our God. And when we walk in the light of God, then we realize that our sins, what happened to them? They disappeared. Because John says the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from every sin. When we walk in the light, then His blood is for you and for me. We saw that in baptism, His blood for you, for us all. Ephesians 5 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So it's when we walk in the light that we may stand before God in His righteousness, in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are purified by the blood of Jesus. We can even go as far as to say, when we walk and are in the light, we are there as though we have not sinned at all, clothed in the pure raiments of Christ's righteousness. Not our own, only His. And walking in the light means that we make confession of our sins. Walking in the light means bringing them out into the open, because we know and we trust the power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all our sins. You will celebrate that, Lord willing, next week. You can't find power like that anywhere else. And that power is applied to our life when we confess our sins, when we allow ourselves to be uncovered, when we live before God with openness and sincerity. You can't be cleansed from sins if you won't confess. You can't be cleansed from sin if you continue to make excuses for your sin, or the sins that you secretly really do kind of like to want to hang on to. That's not walking in the light. And that's not being truthful. And again, that's living the lie. But walking in the light is what us as Christians, what we as Christians are called to. And through it we have this fellowship with God and with each other. It's the only way to the city of God. Confess your sins to Jesus. He knows even more how gross and how revolting and how terrible they are than you do. And he carried, after all, remember, he knows more about your sin than you do because he carried them in his body on the tree. He was cursed because of them. He knows them well. He paid the price for them. He knows them well. So that you may be his sheep, his members, his church, his bride. Isn't that marvelous? Earlier I told you that the church has marks, as the confessions tell us, and I'll remind you what they are: the preaching of the word of pure doctrine of the gospel, maintaining the pure administration of the sacraments, exercising discipline and punishment of sin. These are the marks of the true church. And then there's the marks of the true Christian who walks in the light of Christ. They have faith in Jesus Christ as their only Savior. They avoid sin. They follow after righteousness. They love God. They love their neighbor. They don't turn to the right or to the left. They have a single-minded focus, and they crucify or they put to death the flesh, the sin that continues to cling to them. The marks of the Christian. It's a tall order. It's a tall order. But the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all is that God himself gives them the strength and the purpose. He leads us. He guides us. Before you even think about walking in the light by yourself, grace has to come to you. If you're able to walk in the light, it's because grace has come to you. Because this is about God's grace. This is no works-based religion. You do not walk out of this building thinking he preached a works righteousness kind of salvation. Not at all. There is no works-based religion to be had. No, first we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's all God's work. Pilgrimage of life is never undertaken alone. First, he gives us himself. He gives us then fellow pilgrims as well on our journey through life, the life in the light. And then come the huge responsibilities. You will see some of those. And wonderful, marvelous blessing. So, look to Jesus. Walk in the light. You have everything you need as you travel, because he has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So, welcome to the battle, brothers and sisters. Amen.